Oh, praise God. Hallelujah. Thank God for his word. Glory to Jesus forevermore. Hallelujah. We've been having a great time studying the concept of forgiveness of sins. Forgiveness in Christ Jesus. Another word for forgiveness is remission of sins. I've been more emphatic in my use of that particular one. Remission of sins. Hallelujah. Remission of sins. So this is another episode of Every Day with Jesus broadcast or podcast. And this is what we've been studying through this week. We're going to extend this study into the next week to further see the truth about remission of sins, about forgiveness in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. And then today, let's just consider again the significance of this remission of sins. This is going to be quite a short one because we have a prayer meeting this morning at my local church. We've been having a marathon prayer, 100 hours, started August 1, and it's ending today, September 7, 8 a.m. to 2 p.m. So this is going to be a short one. We all have that prayer meeting to catch up with as members of the local church. So it's going to be quite a short one, shorter in comparison with previous episodes in the week. So, but then we're going to just make progress on this. Continue from here next week. So let's see the implication or the significance of remission of sins again. You know, we've seen how that remission of sins is deeper than pardon. Merely pardoning a wrong or an offense. Hallelujah. Now, I've not said that pardon is not included in forgiveness of sins. But what I'm saying, or what we have been seeing in scriptures, is that it's a deeper thing. The word remission or forgiveness at first is also means pardon, but then it goes beyond pardon to mean deliverance, liberty, freedom, a release from bondage. Hallelujah. Such that in pardon, the offense is forgiven. Pardon addresses just the offense or the offenses as the case may be. But in remission of sins, the offender is changed. Hallelujah. The state of the offender is altered. And that's the difference. So it's different from just saying, okay, I forgive you this, don't do it anymore and all that. And then the man is still left with the capacity to keep doing what he used to do. But in remission of sins, the man is not just forgiven of his offenses. He is changed. He's given a new status, a new nature, a new life. The capacity for evil is taken away. Glory be to Jesus. So he's given a new potential altogether. So the state of the sinner is altered by the gift of remission of sins. Hallelujah. See how this is taught in the Bible. Luke chapter 1, verse 76 to 79. Glory to God. Luke 1, 76 to 79. See that remission of sins always indicates a change in the status of the recipient. Luke 1, hallelujah, 74, Luke 1, 76 to 79. I'll read. Bible says, "And you, child, will be called the prophet of the highest, for you will go before the face of the Lord to prepare his ways, to give knowledge of salvation to his people by the remission of their sins, through which the tender mercy of God, with which the day star from high, or the day spring from on high, has visited us to give light to those who sit in darkness and shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace." So it says to give knowledge of salvation to his people by the remission of their sins, through the tender mercy of our God, with which the day spring from on high has visited us, to give light to those who sit in darkness and the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace. So you see, from verse 77, it says to give knowledge of salvation to his people by the remission of their sins. So what happens to men that receive remission of sins? It says they receive a knowledge of salvation. The word salvation there is soteria in the Greek, which means deliverance, rescue, safety, deliverance. So the remission of sins communicates rescue. It communicates deliverance. Hallelujah. What happens by the remission of sins is salvation. Have you carefully connected the dots before? Hallelujah. that what Christ sent his apostles to preach at Luke 24:47 is remission of sins. Yet, when a man believes that message and receives remission of sins, the man is described as being saved. Hallelujah. So you see that his state is changed. His state is transformed and altered. The man is saved by the remission of sins. Glory to Jesus. So, Christ says remission of sins is to be preached in his name. Now look at Acts chapter 4, verse 12. So what is in the name of Jesus? Remission of sins. However, when a man receives remission of sins, such a man is described as being saved. Why? Because remission of sins is salvation. Acts of Apostles chapter 4, verse 12. Look at this now. Acts of Apostles 4, verse 12. Bible says, nor is there salvation in any other, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. Glory to Jesus. Have you seen? By which we must be saved. By which we must be saved. So you see that salvation and remission of sins are the same. Remission of sins to be preached in his name. And then Peter is speaking about how that in the name of Jesus Christ, salvation is found. In fact, Matthew 1:21, he says, you shall call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. So remission of sins is the same as salvation. Hallelujah. And there's no salvation without the remission of sins. Glory be to Jesus. So you see that the state of the sinner is changed, is transformed, is saved, is rescued from the power of Satan. Glory be to God. Glory be to God. So, have you noticed that in the Gospels, in the ministry of Jesus, he used the word salvation just twice. He used the word saved more often than the word salvation itself. Hallelujah. He used the word salvation just twice. Do you know why? It doesn't mean Jesus was less emphatic on salvation. There were other things he used. There were other words that he used that are the same as salvation. For instance, the word being born again, being born of the Spirit, is the same as salvation. Hallelujah. It's just the same as salvation. For instance, the word everlasting life is the same. He who believes shall not perish is the same. Hallelujah. My sheep know me, I know my sheep, I give them eternal life and they shall never perish. That's salvation. So, while Jesus was not mentioning salvation every now and then, there were many other things he said that were descriptive of salvation. And forgiveness of sins, remission of sins, is one of the words that Jesus used in the Gospels in describing salvation. That which will come to those who believe on his name. Glory be to Jesus. That which will come to those who believe on his name. So, Jesus used the word salvation only in Luke 19:9 when he went to the house of Zacchaeus. Today, salvation has come into your house. John 4:22, when he was speaking with the woman by the well, says, we worship what we know, salvation is of the Jews. But then, when you read the book of Acts and the epistles, you find that salvation is a more prominent word. The apostles employed the word salvation more often. Yet, the mandate that Jesus gave to them is that they should preach repentance and remission of sins in his name. But they began to describe that particular thing called remission of sins as salvation. And Acts 13 verse 26. Glory to Jesus. Acts 13 verse 26. Look at this now. Bible says, men and brethren, sons of the family of Abraham, and those among you who fear God, to you the word of this salvation has been sent. Hallelujah. The word of this salvation has been sent. What is this word of this salvation? Forgiveness of sins, remission of sins. Fact that Jesus died for our sins and was raised for our justification. And Bible refers to this as the word of salvation. Because remission of sins is salvation. And there's no salvation without remission of sins. There's no remission of sins without salvation. They are one and the same. The man that receives remission of sins is the man that has been rescued from the power of death and hell and condemnation and Satan. Hallelujah. Look at Romans 1:16. Paul speaking, he says, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation. I am not ashamed of the gospel. What is the gospel? Paul will tell us what the gospel is. Hallelujah. We've been talking about the gospel, remission of sins. But let's see again from scriptures. Paul defines the gospel because Paul was the one speaking at Romans 1, verse 16. So what does he refer to as the gospel? 1 Corinthians 15. Hallelujah. From verse 1. Moreover, brethren, I declare to you the gospel which I preached to you, which also you received and in which you stand, by which also you are saved. If you hold fast the word which I preached to you, unless you believed in vain. What's the gospel? Verse 3. For I delivered to you first of all that which I also received, that Christ died for our sins. Hallelujah. Christ died for the remission of sins. You know, Christ died for our sins is the same as Matthew 26, 28. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for many for the remission of sins. That Christ died for our sins. That's the gospel. Christ died for the remission of sins. And that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the scriptures. Hallelujah. Now this gospel of remission of sins is what Paul refers to as the power of God unto salvation. At 1 Corinthians 15, you know he says, the gospel which I preach to you, by which you are saved, if you keep in mind the word I preach to you, unless you believed in vain. So he says, by this gospel of remission of sins, you are saved. Hallelujah. Because remission of sins is salvation. So you see that the state of the man is changed, is transformed. It is not just about forgiving an offense, it's about changing the offender. Hallelujah. It's about transforming the offender. It's about giving the offender a new identity, a new life. That's remission of sins. Glory be to Jesus. Such a blessedness. Hallelujah. Look at Ephesians 1:13. Ephesians chapter 1 verse 13. Glory be to Jesus. Oh, hallelujah. Ephesians 1:13. The man Paul speaking. Ephesians 1:13. Look at what Paul says. Bible says, in him you also trusted after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. Remember what we read about the gospel, what we saw about the gospel. The gospel is about remission of sins. He now calls this gospel the gospel of your salvation because remission of sins brings salvation. Remission of sins is not just about forgiving the offense or the wrong. Remission of sins is about bringing salvation to the offender. Hallelujah. It changes the status and the identity of the offender completely. In whom you also trusted, Ephesians 1:13. After you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also, having believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. Hallelujah. Have you seen that there's a change of status? The offender is transformed. He receives the seal of the Spirit. Hallelujah. He receives the seal of the Holy Spirit of promise, who is the guarantee of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession to the praise of his glory. Look at this other scripture, 1 Thessalonians 5, 8 to 9. So always, always, whenever you see remission of sins, it speaks about a change of status, a change of identity. The man is transformed. Beyond his offenses that are forgiven, the offender himself is changed. Hallelujah. The offender himself is changed. And you know, in this series, we are going to connect the dots. Hallelujah. One of the things I appreciate the ministry of Reverend Ade Adebayo for in my life is how that he helped me connect the dots. Hallelujah. He helped me make sense of redemption as a singular reality. Hallelujah. Made me make sense of the blessedness of God. He tied it all together. And that's what we're going to be doing in this teaching. We're going to see, we're going to see and connect the dots. Many of the metaphors that were used in the Bible for salvation. Many of the metaphors that were used, you know, even to describe the state of unbelievers. We're going to connect all the dots and you see why remission of sins has to do with the transformation of the offender. Hallelujah. The release of men from captivity and from bondage. Glory be to Jesus. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 8 to 9. 1 Thessalonians 5, 8 to 9. Glory to Jesus. 1 Thessalonians 5, 8 to 9. Bible says, and therefore, verse 8, Bible says, but let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and as a helmet, the hope of salvation. As a helmet, the hope of salvation. Verse 9, for God has not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation through our Lord Jesus, who died for us, that whether we wake or we sleep, we should live together with him. So we have not been appointed to wrath. We have not been appointed to wrath, but to obtain salvation. Hallelujah. So what is he describing as salvation again? The same reality of remission of sins, by which a man is delivered from the wrath of God to come. So salvation is remission of sins. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 verse 13. 2 Thessalonians 2, 13 to 14. The Bible says, but we are bound to give thanks to God always for you, brethren beloved by the Lord, because God from the beginning chose you for salvation through sanctification by the Spirit and belief in the truth, to which he called you by our gospel for the obtaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. Have you seen that in salvation, there's a change of the state of the man? Hallelujah. God chose us for salvation through sanctification by the Spirit and belief in the truth, to which he called us by the gospel for the obtaining of the glory of God. In Christ Jesus, in remission of sins, in salvation, we obtain the glory of God, which speaks of his life. Hallelujah. His life, his nature, his spirit. Glory to God. So remission of sins is salvation. This is why a man cannot be said to have been saved if he hasn't heard the gospel of remission of sins. It's always amazing when you find somebody who has been in church for many years, and then you're trying to share the gospel with the person. You're trying to find out if the person is born again. You know, because today there are lots of people in church who are not born again. There's such a thing as Christianity as a religion today. In fact, Christianity as a religion is quite fashionable for many folks. You can identify with a denomination, anywhere where they refer to themselves as Christians, without you ever meeting Christ. So, I mean, you meet such people regularly, and then you're trying to share with them the reality of the new birth, the reality of Christ's forgiveness. You want to find out if they are really born again. And then the person says, well, I know I'm born again, but I've never heard about, the gospel. I've never seen the gospel this way. I've never seen the gospel as forgiveness of sins. I've never seen the gospel as, Christ paying for my sins, and I don't have to do anything, to settle the sin problem anymore. And then you are wondering, why does this person think he's saved without hearing about the forgiveness of sins? Hallelujah. The gospel that many folks have heard about is the gospel of change your ways. Be a good person. Turn a new leaf. Don't sin again. Now, don't sin again is not the gospel. Praise God. Did you hear me say this? Don't sin again is not the gospel. Stop sinning is not the gospel. The gospel is an announcement of remission of sins by the blood of Christ Jesus. The gospel is an announcement of forgiveness of sins by the sacrifice of Christ Jesus. The gospel is not that men should stop sinning, because what we are dealing with is bondage to sin, bondage to Satan. So even if they are able, let's assume people are able to stop sinning. When you stop sinning, you are still not free. Hallelujah. And see, that's why we can have a lot of nice unbelievers, kind-hearted, nice people who are generous. They are, noble men in the society who are unbelievers, and they are still on the way to hell. Because the gospel is not about turning a new leaf or changing your ways or, attempting to stop sinning. The gospel is an announcement of remission of sins. So, like I said, that means a man cannot be said to be saved until he has comprehended the truth about remission of sins. Until he has seen the sacrifice of Jesus as being provision, as bringing about the provision for the remission of sins. Hallelujah. If he's yet to see this truth in God's word, if he's yet to see the gospel of remission of sins, he is not saved. Glory to God. He is not saved. You can't be saved until you have understood and known and you are aware of remission of sins. Back to Luke chapter 1, verse 76 to 79. You see this again at Luke 1:76-79. Luke 1:76-79. I'll start from 77 this time. It says, to give knowledge of salvation to his people by the remission of sins. Have you seen? Knowledge of salvation is given by what? by the remission of sins. So a man cannot be said to be saved until he has heard about the gift of remission of sins. That is how the knowledge of salvation is given to men. It is given to men only by the remission of sins. There are no two gospels. There are no different kinds of gospels. Someone says the gospel to some can be about the judgment of God. The gospel to another can be about the fear of God. A young man said that people can be saved by the terror of God, by knowing about the terror of God. I said there's no such thing. A man is only saved as he knows and comprehends the truth about the remission of sins. This is the only way the knowledge of salvation is communicated, by the remission of sins. Hallelujah. By the remission of sins. So now look at verse 79. It says, to give light to those who sit in darkness and the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace. Have you seen again that this remission of sins affects the condition of the recipient? It affects the condition of the recipient. It gives light to those who sit in darkness. Hallelujah. They are turned from darkness to light. Acts 26:18, remember? Turned from darkness to light. It says, to give light to those who sit in darkness and the shadow of death. Remember also that this light is the life of the life of Christ is the light of men. So when he says to give light to those in darkness, it is beyond just giving them an information. It's by imparting to them the gift of eternal life. That is the light. Hallelujah. Men are turned from darkness to light as they receive the life of God. Then he says to guide our feet into the way of peace. You see again the change of location. So there's a change of identity, there's a change of location. Whenever you find remission of sins, something happens to the recipient. Glory to God. His offenses are not the only things that are addressed and dealt with. The offender himself is transformed. Glory to Jesus. Hallelujah. Look at this. Acts 2:38. Remission of sins always affects the recipient. It changes the state of the man. It leaves the man better than he met him. Acts 2:38. Then Peter said to them, repent and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. It doesn't stop there. He now says, then we have a semicolon. Then he says, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. We see that the state of the man, the state of the sinner is altered. It is changed. He receives the indwelling Spirit. Hallelujah. He receives the gift of the Spirit of God. He receives a new identity. Ha! He receives a new identity. Woo! Hallelujah. A new identity, a new life, a new position, a new status. That's how he's set free. By the gift of the Holy Ghost. Remember 2 Corinthians 3:17. Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is what? There is liberty. So the Holy Ghost sets men free. The Spirit of God that we receive in remission of sins is the Spirit of liberty. We are set free. We are delivered from bondage to Satan. Romans 8:15-16 says, you have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but the spirit of adoption by whom we cry, Abba, Father, the spirit of liberty. As opposed to the spirit of bondage, which is the law. Says, and the Spirit bears witness with our spirits that we are children of God, and if children, then heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ Jesus. So the state of the man is changed, is transformed, is a new man. You know, that's the concept of the new creature. Are you connecting the dots? Hallelujah. Are you connecting the dots? Therefore, if any man is in Christ, he is a new creature. All things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Verse 18, and all things are of God who has reconciled us to himself and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. Verse 19, to wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world to himself, not imputing their trespasses to them, and has committed to us the word of reconciliation. So, God is not counting sins against men, he's remitting their sins. Hallelujah. Now, in that remission of sins, men are reconciled. Hallelujah. And in that reconciliation, men are referred to as new creatures. So, the man is transformed, he's changed, he becomes a new man. Hallelujah. You see, that's why we can't be talking about forgiveness of sins in Christ Jesus and making reference to forgiveness of past sins alone. But we're not talking about the offenses alone now. We're talking about the man. The offender has been transformed. This is not just about individual sins and offenses and errors and wrongs. This is about the state of the man himself. He's changed. He's become a new man. He's been set free from bondage. He's been delivered from the power of Satan. He's been set free from captivity to the wickedness and the manipulations of the evil one. Hallelujah. He's a changed man. Acts 10, 43 to 44. Acts 10, 43 to 44. Glory to Jesus. Acts 10, 43 to 44. Bible says, to him all the prophets witness that through his name, whoever believes in him will receive remission of sins. The prophet witnessed that through his name, whoever receives him will receive remission of sins. Now, verse 44. While Peter was yet speaking these words, the Holy Ghost fell upon them that heard the word. Hallelujah. So the moment they heard the truth about remission of sins and they believed, Bible says the Holy Ghost came upon them. Something happened. A change of identity. A gift was received. They were delivered from the power of darkness at that point in time immediately and translated into the kingdom of his dear son. To the kingdom of Christ. Hallelujah. So a change occurs in the recipients of the gift of remission of sins. Ephesians 1, let me begin to close. Ephesians 1, 7. Glory to God. Glory to Jesus. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 7. The Bible says, in him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. The word forgiveness here is also the word aphesis, which is just the word remission. The remission of sins according to the riches of his grace. Now, there's a change of his status. If you read from verse 3 to 6, you find out that the recipient of this forgiveness has been changed. His life has been transformed. From verse 6, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. The man that has received remission of sins is the blessed man. Hallelujah. He's already blessed with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. There's a new location, a new position, a new identity, new possessions. Hallelujah. Verse 4, just as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. The man that receives the gift of remission of sins is the man that is before God without blame. He's blameless. Hallelujah. Is blameless in the sight of God. Verse 5, having predestined us to adoption as sons by Jesus Christ himself according to the good pleasure of his will. So the man that received remission of sins has become a son of God. He's become a child of God. He's a son. His status, his identity has been changed. He's no longer a sinner estranged from God. He's now a man reconciled to God, reconciled to the Father. He's a son in the kingdom of God. Verse 6, to the praise of the glory of his grace by which he made us accepted in the beloved. The man that received remission of sins has become accepted in the beloved. Glory be to Jesus. He's accepted. He's reconciled. He's at peace with the Father. Colossians 1:14, where I close today. Colossians chapter 1 verse 14. We've seen this a couple of times in this teaching and we have to see it again. Hallelujah. We have to see it again. Colossians 1:14. Bible says, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins or the remission of sins. And then I've shown you verse 13. In this teaching, we'll see it again. But let's start from verse 12. Hallelujah. Verse 12. It says, giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in the light. Verse 12 is just like verse 3 of Ephesians 1. Being blessed with every spiritual blessing is being qualified to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in the light. Verse 13 now says, he has delivered us from the power of darkness and conveyed us into the kingdom of the Son of his love. Hallelujah. So you see that in remission of sins, there's a change. The man becomes a partaker of the inheritance of the saints. The man is translated from the power of darkness, is delivered from the power of darkness and translated into God's own kingdom. So this is remission of sins. Never forget. So we can't be making reference to just being forgiven of your past. No. We are talking about a transformation of your life. The man is changed completely. And this is remission of sins. Do good to tune in on Monday. Hallelujah. As we continue to explore the truth about remission of sins, forgiveness in Christ Jesus. It's going to be a long study. Hallelujah. Our lives will not remain the same again. Invite your friends, your relatives, your neighbors, anybody around you that, you know, you have this passion for them to receive God's word. You desire that their eyes are open to the truth of God's word. Just invite them. Put it on your status. Put it on your Facebook wall. Invite people and let's have a great time together in the word of God. Hallelujah. Have a great day of being full of the Holy Ghost, being full of the word, being full of spiritual songs. I'm escaping right now to go pray. Hallelujah. You could also just join us. We are praying 8 a.m. to 2 p.m. So you could pray along wherever you are listening to this podcast. You could just start praying from 8 a.m. to 2 p.m. Hallelujah. It's going to be a remarkable time of prayer. See you in the next episode.